This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. More than 22,000 lay dead, wounded, or went missing in the bloodiest battle of the American Civil War at Antietam. Forces from Ohio also played a role on that deadly day in Maryland. We learn more about that in the new book, Ohio at Antietam, written by Kevin Pollack and Dan Welch. I spoke with Dan Welch earlier. Here is our recorded interview. The name of the book is Ohio at Antietam, the Buckeye State's Sacrifice on America's Bloodiest Day. It's co-written by Kevin Pollack and Dan Welch. Dan Welch joins us now. Dan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, reading through this book and being reminded of just how bloody Antietam was really jarring to think of the many thousands of Americans who lay dead in the aftermath of that, the many thousands more who were wounded. Can you just help us, before we jump into the specifics surrounding Ohio and the stories you tell in this book about the Buckeye State, this war, this battle in this war was just unimaginable, I think, by today's standards of something like this happening on our soil.
Yeah, absolutely. So the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865, is going to see the participation of 3 million Americans. About 2 million Americans from the North will serve in the Union or Federal armies during the period of the war. About a million Southerners that will serve throughout the entirety of the conflict. At the end of the American Civil War, when it comes to a close in the spring of 1865, older estimates placed the number of dead at about 650,000 combined North and South. Modern historiography and scholarship in the 21st century has increased those numbers to about 750,000 Americans that had died or gave what Abraham Lincoln would call their last full measure of devotion during the American Civil War. But as we drill down to the fall of 1862 and the Battle of Antietam in September of that year, we see just a small portion of that bloodletting, but a very significant portion. At the end of 9 hours of fighting at that battle, there were 23,000 casualties North and South, men killed, wounded, captured, and missing.
Yeah, that's just it. It's just how short all of those bodies fell to the ground. That's really unimaginable. And so you and your co-author, Kevin Pollack, here in creating Ohio at Antietam, the Buckeye State Sacrifice on America's Bloodiest Day. You wanted to focus on Ohio's story in this bloody war that took, this battle that took place in Maryland. Why?
Well, I'm a native Ohioan. I grew up in a suburb just outside of Youngstown, Ohio. I currently live on the south side of Youngstown. I'm very proud of that. Very proud of not only my native city, but also my native state of Ohio. And to look at or take an opportunity to look at just what Ohio did at this battle, which will later become known as America's single bloodiest day in American military history, to really take a moment and reflect on the sacrifice that Ohioans made at this moment in the war was something that myself and my co-author felt was an important story to tell. Although he's a native New Yorker, not too far away from us in Buffalo, he recognized as well the importance of these Ohio units and some of the contributions that they made towards that federal, that Union victory at the end of September 17th, 1862.
So where did the folks come from? I understand that there were, 11 different regiments that were sent to Antietam from Ohio?
That is correct. There is a number of different counties that are represented, and a good swath of the populace of Ohio is represented by these 11 units that fought at the Battle of Antietam, mostly infantry units, but also an artillery unit that will be there. In particular, we see strong metropolitan areas at the time represented. For example, the 8th Ohio Volunteer Infantry, largely raised in the suburbs of Cleveland. The 5th Ohio Volunteer Infantry, largely raised around Cincinnati. And so we see a lot of these units that are raised from the state coming together from some of those larger metropolitan areas in 1861 when the war breaks out.
Tell us a little bit about Ohio and the people of Ohio and their feelings about the Civil War.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, one of the most interesting aspects in research in writing this book is that opening chapter, talking a little bit about the transition of Ohio from Just a regular footing to a war footing in a very short amount of time. Between December and April, December of 1860 and April of 1861, which will become known as the Secession Winter, as we see more southern states seceding from the Union, if we look at the politics going on in the capital here in Ohio, we start to see a transition towards a war footing. However, Ohio is not willing to immediately go to war without exhausting all options, not only from the politicians that are debating this on the floor of the Ohio House and Ohio Senate, but debating it representing the districts from within the state. And so they're going to give one last effort towards peace to settle some of these larger questions that the secession of the southern states are raising. Not only the constitutionality of the southern states to be able to leave the Union itself, but the reasons why that they are leaving the Union. So the Ohio faction within the Capitol is going to send some commissioners to one last peace effort, one last peace conference before the war breaks out. But what ultimately will happen is they can't ignore the firing on Fort Sumter in mid-April of 1861, and immediately Ohio transitions to a war effort to preserve the Union. And that's when we start seeing the call go out across the state of Ohio and northern states across the country for volunteers to sign up to join these armies to suppress the rebellion and to preserve the Union.
The book includes 12 pages of names of Ohioans who died either on the field that day or later of their wounds. Did the impact on Ohioans, as it relates to the tragedy of it all, did that impact or further shape opinions back home?
Absolutely. The Battle of Antietam is really a defining moment in the American Civil War. Now, we have the luxury of historical hindsight to tell us what will happen after Antietam in the weeks, months, and years as the war plays out. But even those in September of 1862 understood the monumentous moment that had just occurred in Sharpsburg, Maryland on that fall September day. The impact is not only felt by Ohioans, but it's also felt by many other citizens across the North and South. But particularly in the North and in the state of Ohio, we begin to see a growing rise in one particular political movement in the Democratic Party known as the Peace Democrats. And it is a direct result of the horrendous casualties that people back home, you know, in counties in Ohio, such as my county, as Mahoning, and all across the state, are continually seen in the daily newspapers and letters back home, lists of the dead, lists of the wounded, the missing, the captured, those that have no information about their loved ones. It seems at this moment that the war will continue to drag on, that the casualties will be endless, and that the northern populace is getting tired. And for many, they're starting to feel that we need to sue for peace, that there's no way that we're going to be able to defeat the Confederacy, and in particularly the Army of Northern Virginia, under the command of General Robert E. Lee.
We're talking about the book Ohio at Antietam, The Buckeye State Sacrifice on America's Bloodiest Day. With us is co-author Dan Welch. He wrote the book alongside Kevin Pollack. I want to talk about President McKinley, William McKinley, who was a president of this country towards the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th centuries, and was there. And what I like about his story as an Ohioan fighting at Antietam is that, as can be the case with some historic figures in our nation's history, he's, you know, there are different versions. You know, some speculate that he was just a guy who was there serving coffee, and others say that his actions were far more heroic. Tell us a little bit about McKinley there and the variations on that tale.
Yeah, so for a number of years after the American Civil War, and as McKinley ran for president, there was the continual reflection back onto his service during the American Civil War. And many contemporaries at the time, including such contemporaries as Rutherford B. Hayes and many others in the weeks immediately after the Battle of Antietam talk about his actions and the heroic nature of them. Unfortunately, the historical record began to shift as we moved into the 20th century. And for a good part of the 20th century, that narrative was what you described, that his role at the Battle of Antietam was that he served coffee. And that was it. That was his contribution. And almost became a historical scoff, if you will, that he wasn't on the front lines, that he didn't participate in that unbelievable bloodletting that day and the sacrifices that were made on that field. But some of those contemporary accounts and a lot more scholarship over the later half of the 20th century and into the 21st century really reveal the true nature of what he did that day. McKinley's unit was part of a larger organization of Civil War regiments from the state of Ohio, known as the Brigade, as they formed together. And William McKinley had known that these men had been up very, very early on September 17th. Their haversacks, which carried their food or their rations at the time, were depleted. And they had gone into position quite early in the morning on the battlefield that was developing just south of the town of Sharpsburg itself. And by the early afternoon, with no battle in sight, realizing these men were beyond famished and hungry, McKinley, as a quartermaster sergeant, took it upon himself to press into service another soldier he saw in the rear and to gather two wagons loaded up with fresh rations, fresh food, including coffee, and to get it to the front, all the while coming under Confederate artillery fire. McKinley felt that the men in his regiment and his brigade would fight better if they had had an opportunity to get a meal into their stomach. And it would come just at the right time. For not too long after McKinley arrived and began to disperse those rations to the men, the order to go forward would be received, and they would participate in an assault that would ultimately bring the Battle of Antietam to a close on the late afternoon, early evening of September 17th.
Shortly after the Battle of Antietam, we saw the famous Emancipation Proclamation, which would go into effect, I guess, in the first of the following year. So this period is defined often as a significant turning point in the war. It was also relatively early in it. Why is this so monumental?
So when the war breaks out in 1861 and our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, places a call for volunteers, the federal government, their primary war objectives for the creation of these Union armies is first and foremost to suppress the rebellion and to bring the seceded southern states back into the Union. So suppress the rebellion and preserve the Union or fight for the preservation of the Union. By the fall of 1862, however, Abraham Lincoln had been thinking about the government's war objectives a little bit differently. And he had had these thoughts early in the summer of 1862, thoughts that he had shared with members of his cabinet. But the timing of putting these thoughts to paper, and in particularly changing the federal government's war objectives, was not appropriate in the summer of 1862, as one of the massive Union armies in the Eastern theater of the war, under the command of George B. McClellan, had been defeated in Peninsula. And so Lincoln was advised to put these thoughts, these ideas of changing the federal government's war objectives and war efforts to the side, to wait for a better opportune moment. And for Lincoln, that opportune moment was what he viewed as a victory on the plains of Manassas and the rolling terrain south of the town, or excuse me, not Manassas, but Sharpsburg, Maryland, and the rolling terrain south thereof as that moment. So 5 days after the battle on September 22nd, Lincoln issues the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation. And as you mentioned, on January 1st, 1863, it goes into effect. And it completely changes the primary war objective for the federal armies of the United States government. Yes, one of the war objectives will continue to be to end the rebellion, to suppress it. Another war objective will continue to remain, to restore these states back to the Union and preserve the Union. But the primary effort of the federal government's war effort as of January 1st, 1863, will be to end the institution of slavery once and for all in this country.
Dan, as you were doing your research on this, Did anything surprise you?
You know, I think the incredible stories that come out, these individual stories that we were able to share in the book, and particularly those related to, you mentioned the 12 pages of Ohioans that are buried at the Antietam National Battlefield Cemetery. We often, when we talk about the American Civil War, you know, view this war on a large scale. You know, already today, as we've had this conversation, I've talked about huge numbers, 23,000 casualties at Antietam, 750,000 casualties during the course of the war. We forget that each one of these large numbers represents individuals, individuals that had a life back home, individuals with their own stories to tell. And oftentimes, those individual stories get lost. And so, as Kevin and I research this book, we made it an effort, a very sincere effort, to bring many of those individual stories of Ohioans, those that not only gave what Lincoln called in his Gettysburg Address their last full measure of devotion, but those that also participated in this battle and continued to fight throughout the war and the duration of their service, to bring these stories to light and ensure that what they did at Antietam on September 17th, 1862 would never be forgotten by our generation or generations that know us not.
The book is called Ohio at Antietam, The Buckeye State's Sacrifice on America's Bloodiest Day. We've been joined by one of the co-authors, Dan Welch, who wrote the book with Kevin Pollack. It's now available. Dan, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about this book. There's obviously a whole lot more to dive into for readers who get their hands on it. Dan, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.